We're going to continue on this morning with our review of some lessons concerning the church. We've had four reviews already. Back in January and February, we had about eight or nine lessons before the COVID-19 hit, and we didn't get to study the remainder of the lessons on that. But so this will be the fourth review and the last review, and then Lord's willing, next Sunday, and possibly one more Sunday, we'll finish up the remainder of the lessons that we didn't get to do. But I want to review, since it's been a few months, and go back over some of these things. So we'll get right into it in reviewing some of these things about the church. It's important that we, as Christians, continue to remind ourselves who we are and what the church is. Last Sunday, we ended our lesson talking about the fact that how can we know if we're members of the church today, how can we know we're members of the same church that we've been reading about and studying about in the New Testament? We know that church that was established in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost was the Lord's church that He purchased with His blood. It was prophesied by all those Old Testament prophecies. The kingdom was at hand, John said. Jesus said, the kingdom is drawing nigh. And so He promised them to wait for the power, and they did. They received the power, and they preached their lessons. The first people were baptized and added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. So how can we know that we are members of that same body today? Well, last Sunday morning when we concluded our lesson, we talked about the fact that if we by faith, when we study the Word of God and understand what they did, they heard the gospel, they believed it, they confessed Christ, they repented of their sins, and they were baptized by virtue of the fact that they by faith obeyed what God commanded them to do, they became members of the church that the Lord added them to. And so the same thing today. If we do the same things they did that's taught in the Bible, we too are members of that body. So when we hear about the word discussion about the church or the name church, the word church, when we hear that, there's a lot of different meanings that comes to people's minds. That's evident because you talk to one person and ask them what the church is, and they may say one thing and someone will say something else. And the Bible enables us to know and to understand what the church is. So, what is the church? You know, some say it's a material building. Some say it is the people. You know, some say this and that. But what does the Bible say the church is? So, let's look at what the Bible says about the church and the definition of it. What is the church that's talked about in the New Testament? What is that kingdom, that bride of Christ? Well, it is truly described in different terms in the Bible. And but when we look at those terms that the Bible is described by, they tie in with the word church, such as the word church, the word kingdom, the word body of Christ. Those tie in together as being what the church is. It's the baptized believers in Christ. So due to the fact that there's so many thoughts, so many ideas about the church, let's take a look at that for just a minute. The word church is used in most translations of the Bible, according to men that studied and looked into this subject. The word church is used in most English translations of the New Testament. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it's used about 114 times in the New Testament. So the church, the called out, those that are called out, the body of Christ. The New American Standard Version, or the Bible, is translated by church or churches about 109 times, assembly 3 times, and congregation 2 times. And the scriptures are on the board to back that up, to show this description of the church. The King James Version also has the word church in Acts 2 and verse 47, in addition to those other scriptures we noted. So the word church, the name church, what is the church, is very important. The compound word, ekklesia, means out of or a calling to call. So the church consists of those who are called out. And we know, as we've been studying this morning and studied in lessons in the past, we are called by the gospel. It is God's power to call men, and when men hear the gospel and believe it and by faith obey it, we're called out of sin to salvation. We're called out of ignorance into understanding and truth by the Word of God. So it are those people that are called by God through His Word. That's what the church is. And when they're called and they're baptized, they're added to that church. So the most literal meaning of the word church is God's assembly. God was the one who called man through His Son, and His Son gave His life. God did the calling. God is the one who is the convener. He calls us to convene. He calls us to come to Him through His Word. And when we come to Him by faith and obey, His Son adds us to the church, which He calls us to. So He convenes us to come out. So in His obedience, we are the called out body of Christ. Called out of sin into salvation. Called out of the world into righteousness to serve God in His family. So that is what the church is. And so the church is described in the New Testament in various ways. Five or six different descriptions. And they all mean the same thing. They all refer to the same thing. Those baptized believers in Christ who have by faith been baptized into Christ and the Lord has added to the church. So the church then is described as the body of Christ. We're not going to take time to read all these scriptures this morning because we went over several of them back in February when we studied this lesson. But the body of Christ then, the church is described as the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 and Colossians 1 and verse 18, He is the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. There's one body composed of many members. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. And in that, we understand that the members He's talking about are those that are baptized into Christ, such as the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 individual souls were saved, and those souls were added to the church by the Lord, Acts 2:47. So it's made up of individual members who are put into that body by the Lord. Not different bodies, but individual members make up the one body, the church. And so each member is a part of that body. And each individual member then has responsibilities to the church, to God, to Christ, to honor God and honor Christ in the body. We are the bride of Christ. He is the head. And so we are married to Christ. And so we serve Him. He is the head of the body. Again, the church is described as the bride of Christ, as I just mentioned, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. He's the head. He's the Savior. He gave Himself for the church. He sanctified her that He might present her to Himself a glorious church. So He's the head and we're the body. The church, the body, the bride of Christ is to do what? Is to honor its head, which is Christ. So baptized believers, we're in the church. We're in the body of Christ. We belong to Him. We wear His name because He bought us. He paid for us. We are His. We belong to Him. Thus, we wear His name. We are Christians. So, description of the church. The Bible describes the church then as a kingdom. It is the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. And it is the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Christ. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Again, He said to Peter, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And I'll give unto you what? The keys of the kingdom. And we studied about 3 weeks ago how that the kingdom and the church are interchangeable. The fact that Peter preached the first sermon, the old people believed in him, were baptized, and the Lord added them to what? The church. What was the fact is that the gospel opened up the way for those people to be saved, and when they were saved by faith and obedience, they were added to the church. That was the kingdom of God that Christ said He was giving Peter the keys to. So, the church and the kingdom. The church is described as the bride of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the God as far as the body of Christ. And it's the kingdom. Christ is the king over that kingdom. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. Christians then, you and I, are fellow citizens in that kingdom. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. The kingdom then was established, go back to Pentecost, AD 33. The kingdom was established then. That's the kingdom Peter was told by Jesus that I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. So the church, the kingdom, was established. Christ is king. He is head over all things to the church. Well, the church is described as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the kingdom of God, and it's described as the household of God. The household of God. We are in His family. We're in the household of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're the household of God. And so we're in the household of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 15, we belong to God. We're in His house. We're His people. God's the Father. He's the Father of the household. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. Christians are the children, Romans 8, 16 and 17. We are sons and daughters in that household of God, with God being the Father. The term house indicates a family or household, with the Father, God, Christ being the head of that church, of that house. So the term house indicates a family or household, Acts 16, Hebrews 11. So we're in the household of God. The house of God is the church. 1 Timothy again, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of the living God. So to get into the household of God, same thing we do to get into the church, into the kingdom, into the body. So we belong to the bride of Christ, which is the church, which is the kingdom, which is the body, which is the household of God. We're born again. We're baptized into Christ. It is the new birth. Romans 6, 3 through 6 talks about the fact that we are buried with Him in baptism and we rise to walk in newness of life. So, what does God expect of you and of me? Well, He expects obedience in His household. He expects us in the church, in the body, to be obedient to Him. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. In the household of God, we are His children. He sent His Son, who is head over the church, and we are to be obedient to God and His teachings. We're followers of Christ. Well, the church is described as the temple of God. The temple of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 21. Under the old law, the temple was a place of worship. The Jews came there to offer up worship to God. But under the law of Christ, under the New Testament, under that, as Christians, we have two obvious obligations to the temple of God. Worship and offer up spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And then to what? Present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God. So we are in the temple of God. We are, in essence, the temple of God because God dwells in us through His Word. Christ dwells in us. And we're in that temple of God. We are His belonging. We belong to Him. We're there. So we worship God together as the church. We worship, offer up spiritual sacrifices to Him in our worship. We present our bodies a holy and living sacrifice. Well, description to the church. The term church in the New Testament is used to describe the people of God. We think about that, the people of God. Those who belong to God. Those who are called out. Those who are blood bought. Those who have been saved through the blood of Christ. So, we then belong to God. So, when we look at the review of what we've seen concerning the church, we see that the Lord, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 and going through verse 47, we see that those who were added to the church, the kingdom, the body of Christ, who are in the household of God, became members of that body and became a part of the household of God by virtue of hearing the Word of God. Peter stood up before those people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 14, and he preached Jesus to them. He told them that, hey, let me tell you about David, all of you know about David, the patriarch, and you know about him and what he did, and all of you know that he that you know they respected David, but David had died. He had been put in his sepulcher, and he said he is in his grave till today. He's still there. But Peter said, let me tell you about Jesus, the Son of God, who is of the seed of David. He came and he lived, and some of you had a part in putting him to death, had a hand in it. And that Jesus that you put to death, he was buried, and God did not leave his body in the sepulcher to see corruption, but he raised him from the grave on the third day, that he should not see corruption. David's body saw corruption. The Son of God's body did not see corruption. He overcame death through the power of God. So when they were told that, and that Jesus died for their sins, and they received that in their heart and they obeyed it, then the Lord, then he added them to the church. He added who to the church? Those that were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 talks about that. But let's go back up to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. In verse 41, they were told then leading up to that, to save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they gladly received the word that they were baptized. So the saved were added to the church there in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem. Today, the saved, when we are baptized into Christ, are added to the church, which is the kingdom, which is the bride of Christ, which is the body of Christ, which is the temple of God, which is the household of God. That's what the church is. That's what the Bible describes the church as being. And so then, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. When we are baptized, we're baptized into what? Are we baptized into different bodies, as some people in the religious world claim? Are we baptized to be functioning in different bodies, as some people in the religious world claim? No, the Bible teaches there, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, that we are baptized into one body. Here he says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So, we're baptized into that one body, the body of Christ, the church, which is what? It is not one member, but many members. What are the members? Are the members different churches or different individuals? The members are individuals who have been baptized into Christ, who have accepted Christ, who have put on Christ, that the Lord has put into that body. So then the body of Christ is what we're baptized into. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, the one body which belongs to Christ. He is one head over one body, the church. Then we go further and we see, I may have got ahead of myself on the slides. So the church is married to Christ. It is His bride and His body. Ephesians 5 verses 22 and 23. Let's go back and read those verses. I'm sorry, I forgot to flip my slides on the last two points. But where Christ purchased the church with His own blood and gave Himself up for it, He gave His blood for us that are saved, that are added to the church. And so He saved us by His blood, and we are purchased by His blood. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong phrase. Let's go back to chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, not Romans. Now we're there. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So, we are married to Christ. We belong to Him. He is head over his body, Ephesians 5:22. And you go all the way through verse 33 there, and you see that certainly he describes how that the church belongs to Christ. He's the head of the church, and he loved himself, and he gave himself for her, verse 25. And so the next point we look at concerning the description of the church is that we are citizens in his kingdom. John chapter 3 and verse 5. And being citizens in the kingdom or the church, we see that we're children of God. And what do? We make up then the family of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So, in the church, Christians, you and I, constitute a holy temple where God dwells, where His Son is head, and where we are a part of that body. We belong to Christ. Well, the last few points are going to be these. The word church is used in the New Testament, used in the general or universal sense to designate all the saved of all the ages who have followed God and obeyed God. It's used to designate those who are baptized into Christ, who hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized, and submit to baptism. The Lord adds them to the church. All the saved are added to the church. So the church, general universal sense, all the saved. Ephesians 1:22-33 and Ephesians 4:4, we're in that body of all the saved. Secondly, in the New Testament, the church is used as a local group of people to designate the saved who work and worship in a specific locality, per se, Beulah. We are saved a part of all the saved that's in the church, but the church functions locally because people in Vineland, Alabama, can't assemble with someone in Tucson, Arizona, because we live too far apart. And even in Coleman County, there's people assembling in about 15 or 20 different places because they all can't go to the same place and it's not feasible. So God set it up that those members can function as a local entity, and that's the way the church functions. Well, the word church in the New Testament is used as an assembly of saints for worship. We come together for worship to do God's will and serve Him. So, I hope the review has not been boring to you the last four Sundays, but I hope it'll bring us up to where we'll be next Sunday and the following Sunday if need be to finish up our series of studies on the church. I appreciate your good attention, and less than as Christians, let us study and understand what the Bible teaches about the church, what is described concerning the church, and let us, as baptized believers in Christ who make up the church, do our part faithfully to have the church to be what God would want it to be. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you'd like to be baptized into Christ, if that's your desire, the place is prepared, and you can leave this building, a child of God. If that should be your desire this morning. If you're here this morning and perhaps you are a Christian and something's wrong in your life, you need to correct in a public way that you can be faithful once again. We urge you to come while we stand and while we sing.